Lord Shiva said,
Tava,
your Vada,
O supreme benefactor,
Vada
Angrao,
precious lotus feet,
Ashisha,
by desire,
Iha,
in the material world.
Akila Arte,
for fulfillment.
He
api,
certainly.
Munibihi,
by the sages.
Asaktahai,
liberated.
Adarena,
with care.
Arhanihe,
worshipable.
Yadi,
if.
Rachita
diam,
mind fixed.
Ma,
me.
Avidyalokaha,
the ignorant persons.
Apavidam,
unpurified activity.
Japati,
utters.
Na ganaye,
do not value.
Tat,
it.
Twat
para anugrahena,
by compassion like yours.
Translation,
Lord Shiva said,
my dear Lord,
my mind and
consciousness are always
fixed on your
lotus feet,
which,
as the source
of all benediction
and the fulfillment
of all desires,
are worshipped
by all
liberated great
sages,
because your
lotus feet
are worthy of worship.
With my
mind fixed on your
lotus feet, I am
no longer disturbed
by persons who
blaspheme me,
claiming that
my activities are
not purified.
I do not mind
their accusations,
and I excuse
them out of
compassion,
just as you
exhibit compassion
toward
all living entities.
You can repeat.
Lord Shiva said,
my dear Lord,
my
mind and consciousness
are
always fixed on your
lotus feet,
which is
the source of all
benediction,
and
the fulfillment of all
desires,
are
worshipped
by all
liberated great sages,
because
your lotus feet
are worthy of
worship.
With my mind
fixed on your
lotus feet,
I am
no longer disturbed
by
persons
who
blaspheme
me,
claiming
that
my activities
are
not purified.
I do not
mind their accusations,
and
I excuse them out of
compassion,
just as
you exhibit
compassion
toward
all living
entities.
So
purport by His
Divine Grace Srila
Prabhupada,
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Lord Shiva
expresses
herein his
regret
at having
been angry and
having disturbed
the sacrificial
activities of
Daksha.
King Daksha
had insulted him
in many ways, and
thus he had
become angry and
had frustrated
the entire
sacrificial
ceremony.
Later,
when he was
pleased, the
yajna performances
were
reinstituted,
and
therefore
he regretted
his activities.
Now
he says that
because his mind
is fixed on
the lotus feet
of the Supreme Lord
Vishnu,
he is no
longer disturbed
by the ordinary
critics
of his way of
life.
From this
statement by Lord Shiva,
it is understood
that as long as
one is on the material
platform, one
is affected by the
three modes of
material
nature.
As soon
as one is
in Krishna consciousness,
however,
one is no longer
affected by
such material
activities.
One
should therefore
always be
fixed in
Krishna consciousness,
busy
in the transcendental
loving service of
the Lord.
It is guaranteed
that such a devotee
will never be
affected by the
actions and
reactions
of the three
modes of
material nature.
This
fact is also
corroborated
in Bhagavad Gita.
Anyone
who is fixed
in the transcendental
service of the Lord has
surpassed
all the material
qualities and
is situated
in the status
of
Brahman
realization.
In which
one is not
afflicted by hankering for
material objects. The recommendation of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that one should always be Krishna conscious and should never forget his transcendental relationship with the Lord. This program has to be followed strictly by everyone. From the statement of Lord Shiva, it is understood that he was always in Krishna consciousness, and thus he remained free from material affliction. The only remedy, therefore, is to continue Krishna consciousness rigidly in order to get out of the contamination of the material modes. So Rudra Vacha Tava Varada Varangrav Ashishekalikarte Yappi Munibirasakteir Adarennarhaniye Yadi Rachitadiyam Mavijaloka Papavit. Yadi Rachitadiyam Mavijaloko Pavidham Japatina Ganaye Tatwat Paranu Grahena. So, Om Ganat Timananda Shah. Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, we can understand from Srila Prabhupada's description that even though Lord Shiva was exhibiting Vaishnava humility and sort of feeling sorry that he got angry, that his anger was not in the least coming from contact with the modes of material nature. So it's important in this respect to understand different varieties of anger. Anger which is bona fide and anger which is not bona fide. You know, anger which comes from the contact of the modes of material nature, and anger which is coming from someone who is pure. And actually, there's like three varieties of anger. This is an anger class. Anyway, anger in the material world is easy to understand. Krishna actually tells us about this in the Bhagavad Gita, that one contemplates sense objects, one becomes attached to sense objects, one becomes lusty, and then from lust comes anger. That's pretty easy. In other words, it is because of a particular strategy that one has for fulfilling his basic needs. And it is a misplaced strategy, it is an improper strategy, one that doesn't work. Because the basic needs that one has, you know, let's say one has a need for love, for example, which is a basic, wonderful need. All you need is love, as it's stated by the Acharyas. All you need is love. Love. All you need is love. And so, anyway, so you have a need for love. So, your strategy, not understanding your basic need, you know, may be to fall in love in a material sense with some girl, boy, cat, dog. I don't know if I should talk about this. But anyway, you know, we find that people keep these animals even though it's obvious by scientific, you know, facts that the animals are harmful to their health. It was really interesting. Especially cats. Did you know that? Cats, like if you keep a cat, like if you happen to be pregnant, you know, your baby may have some, like, horrible disease later on. And so, anyway, there's so many things like that. Because people have a need for love. And then, so there's misplaced strategy. Because they're meant to focus their love on Krishna. So, because the cat, or the dog, or the husband, or the wife doesn't reciprocate the love in the way that they want it, they get angry at them. I mean, there's more anger in man-woman relationships, or romantic relationships. Let's be more liberal nowadays. There's more anger in romantic relationships than there is practically any other relationships. I mean, the higher up the rasas you go, the more anger you get, frankly. Isn't it? I mean, if you think about, you know, like friendship, you know, there's a little anger, you know, between friends, you know, but they make friends later on. But the mother gets angry at the child, and then the lover gets angry at the beloved. Anyway, so Because it's frustration, because the person can't satisfy you. It's a misplaced strategy. And anyway, we see that that's where anger comes from. It's not that the person's need is bad. It's the strategy utilizing the material energy to fulfill the need that causes the anger. And so that's material anger. So that's not so interesting. I mean, we all know about that. And anyway, so let's just describe that in briefly. How do you deal with it? You just figure out what your need is. And you say, hey, this is not a good strategy. That's all. And then it goes away. Pretty cool. Anger management, in one sentence. Figure your need, pick another strategy, bye-bye anger. Take responsibility for it. You know, don't think that someone else made you angry. So anyway, so that's material anger. So that's our whole anger management course. So, but there are two types. I described in the beginning, there's three types of anger, but there are two types of spiritual anger. You know, people who are spiritually, you know, up there, who exhibit anger. One type is the instructive type in this world, or, you know, they're trying to reform someone. Like Lord Shiva, that was what Lord Shiva was doing. He was, you know, it was out of compassion and out of love, of course, for his wife, who happened to have, you know, left her body. But it was one to instruct or to bring people closer to Krishna or to mitigate people's offenses. It's actually part of a preaching strategy. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described that, you know, he even got angry at Junior Haridas. There was Junior Haridas, this interesting story. Junior Haridas was trying to get some rice, and then he just... Anyway, so he got it from the wrong person, you know. Anyway, there was some interaction that was improper insofar as man-woman interaction. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just got angry and refused to see him. He said, you know, I'm not gonna talk to anybody in the renounced order of life who just, like, you know, dallies with the women like that. So he just... And he sort of rejected Junior Haridas. But his rejection, his anger, was for the benefit of Junior Haridas, who later on took a spiritual form and was able to chant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also was for the benefit of the Vaishnavas, so that people wouldn't misunderstand the principles of renounced order of life and take to Sahajism. Of course, people did take to Sahajism, but it was at least an example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave so that people couldn't use the example of Junior Haridas to cheat. So, I mean, so there was that particular instance where anger was appropriate in setting forth religious principles. And, of course, the Pandavas were encouraged to be angry. So that's also in carrying out the Lord's mission, Pritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chudishkritam, establishing religious principles, annihilating the good old miscreants, protecting the devotees. I mean, so that's appropriate anger. Even we find Bhimsen, it's described that he was so angry, he was like a trampled snake, and that went on for about 14 years. It's described he had long-cherished anger. You know, after there was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi, actually more than that. When before Draupadi was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi, Duryodhana actually, you know, said to Draupadi, she should sit on my lap, you know. And I forget, one side of the lap is for daughters and the other side is for girlfriends, but I forget which side. Nor is it important for me to understand it anyway. You know, that's for all of you, but not for me. Anyway, so he pointed to his lap, and then Bhim saying, said, you're going to have that lap broken. And then, of course, Dushyant dragged Draupadi from her room, and because of that, and also attempted to disrobe her, and because of that, Bhimsen said, you know, I'm not going to rest until I can drink your blood. And of course, Draupadi said, I'm not going to tie my hair until I can rub some of the blood from Dushyant in it. It's pretty heavy. I mean, the Vedic system, nowadays, of course, the women don't tie their hair for any reason. But anyway, so that's a different issue. They go to the hairdresser and have it a permanent. In the old days, that would be considered, anyway, not so nice. Anyway. You know, nowadays, women think they actually become more beautiful by having all sorts of hair out there. But it's a fact. I mean, the Vedic system, people look younger if their hair is tied back. Otherwise, they look older. Anyway, so that's their problem, not mine. So that's funny. So anyway, so Draupadi, she said that, and then Bhimsen also. No, Arjuna. Actually, Arjuna vowed to kill Karna because Karna called Draupadi a whore, a prostitute. You know, that's very heavy. He said, you know, because she's married to five men, that means she's already a prostitute. You know, so Arjuna said, you know, I'm going to kill this Karna. And so there was so much anger. But that anger was actually for carrying out the Lord's mission. And it was actually under Yogamaya. That's another point. Like Lord Shiva's anger here is also under Yogamaya. Because as Prabhupada quotes from the Gita, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Daivam Prakritim Ashrita. That the Mahatmas, the great souls, and certainly Lord Shiva is a great soul, is one of the Mahajanas, they're under Daivam Prakriti. They're taking shelter of the internal potency. There's no question of like anger coming from frustration of material desires. Although sometimes it may appear like that, it's yogamaya. So this is all one type of anger. But for me, the most interesting type of anger is the anger that is exhibited within the pastimes of the Lord, specifically the indirect rasa of anger. You understand? That's the most interesting type of anger. And so, let me describe, not just that anger, but let me describe the other indirect rasas, because it's actually very interesting, the whole topic of indirect rasas, because many of the indirect rasas, when exhibited in this world in the perverted reflection, indicate contact with the modes of nature. Whereas when exhibited in the spiritual realm, they indicate yogamaya. You know, there's an interesting story about yogamaya. Before Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, just to deviate a little bit from the discussion, this older lady came to Nanda Maharaj, who was the king of Vrindavan, and she came with her grandson. Who is her grandson? Does anyone know? Who is her grandson? Anyway, who knows who the older lady is? Purnamasi, and who is the aunt? Grandson. Now, Sandapani Muni is his son. Who's the grandson of Purnamasi? Anyone know? What? Huh? No, you gotta say it louder. So if you're making a mistake, I can criticize you. So, who? Say louder. Madhu Mango, yes, you're right. Now I can't criticize you. See, that's people are afraid of making a mistake, they say it very low. So Madhu Mango, so she came there and they said, you know, she said, you know, please give me a place to stay here. And Nanda Maharaj gave her a little cottage. This was a cottage of leaves or grass on the bank of the Jamuna. And that's where Purnamasi stayed. Anyway, so Purnamasi is Yogamaya. So that's why we're talking about Yogamaya. So under the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, which is different than the Mahamaya, there's these indirect rasas, and I was thinking about them. They're very, very interesting. But normally they indicate contact with the modes of nature when we show them. I mean, the first one is laughter. You know, if someone starts laughing uncontrollably, you just want to either they're teaching laugh yoga or they're just like, you know, crazy. It's like you're going to an institution, you know, you find people all day long, you know, laughing. Huh? It's crazy. So, and you know, and laughing. Oh, people like to laugh. I mean, it's actually a good thing. Although, usually people don't have such good jokes anymore. when Gopal tells me jokes that are not good at all. Anyway, I hope he's not watching. Anyway, so I think of an interesting story from the Nectar of Devotion about how laughter was exhibited in Krishna's pastimes. One time, Krishna ate butter, not just one time, many times he ate butter, but this is one time he ate butter. And he'd been accused of eating butter by the gopis. And so sometimes to tell if someone's eating butter or eating something, you got to smell their breath. So Radharani was actually, you know, putting her face, you know, said, you've eaten butter, you've stolen butter. So she put her face close to Krishna's, smell the butter. And Krishna said, what is this lady putting her face close to me? And everyone started laughing. So that's an instance of laughter. You know, so much humor in the spiritual world. And then, so the next one is, I just want to get time for all of them, is astonishment. So, you know, laughter generally is a sign of the modes of nature in the material world, or astonishment, you know, shock, like that. So in Krishna's pastimes, an instance of astonishment is when Lord Brahma came back, you know, after a moment of his time and a year of the earth time, after he had imprisoned the calves and the coward boys, and he came back and saw the same calves and coward boys. Huh? That's astonishment. Huh? What's happening? Like that, you know, bewilderment, astonishment. Huh? And then he saw, of course, the forearm forms. You know, Krishna said, well, I'll astonish you even more. So he had all the calves and coward boys, you know, show a fault. Can you imagine that? You know, looking at cows or calves, and all of a sudden they have forearms and, you know, all the symbols of Vishnu. I mean, that's pretty astonishing, no? Shocking, astonishing. And then the next indirect one is chivalry. Now, chivalry usually in the material world comes from, like, pride, you know, that mode of passion. Like you have in the West, you have Sir Walter Raleigh, who put down his cape so the Queen of England could cross a muddy puddle. You know that story? He put down, oh, what a chivalrous guy. Or the knights of old, what is that, knights of old, where knights were bold in times of old. Anyway, so, you know, just like very chivalrous type of personalities. So there's an instance in Krishna's pastimes that one time Krishna challenged Sridham to a fight. And Sridham, you know, just tightened his belt like this. All right. Like, you know, a wrestler will do, like, before fighting. So that you know, chivalry, which normally comes from pride, you know, it's a Kshatriya manifestation in this world. Just like you don't find Brahmanas are so chivalrous. They don't open the doors for ladies. But anyway, so they do sometimes. But, I mean, they're not, like, chivalrous like Kshatriyas, you know, just like, you know. You don't find a Brahmana a sannyasi putting his cape out so some lady can cross the. You know, ladies open doors for him. So anyway, so that's chivalry, and then lamentation. Lamentation is definitely from ignorance in this world, isn't it? Oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the sorrow. Nobody loves me. No, even my children, they've grown up and they left me. And, oh, no, what am I going to do with life? Anyway, so lamentation. So in the spiritual realm, there's an instance of lamentation when Krishna was taken away by the Trinavarta demon. And all the residents of Vrindavan were lamenting. And also when Krishna dove into the water to chastise the Kaliya serpent. I mean, practically speaking, the residents of Vrindavan were lamenting and they wanted to go save Krishna. And Balaram, who knew better, just held them all back, right? He said, just wait a second, boys or girls. Just, you know, stay here. You know, don't do this. So that's lamentation. And then we get to the one we're talking about today, anger. You know, spiritual anger. You find when Jatila, who is, you know, Radharani's so-called mother-in-law. When Jatila, you know, discovers Radharani with one of Krishna's garments, she gets extremely angry and starts yelling at her. And then Krishna also, you know, says, you know, you horrible old lady, you know, what are you doing here? Yeah, anyway, so there's anger there in those pastimes. And anger, as I said, in the material world generally comes from, you know, the frustration of one's strategy. Okay. And then the next one, oh yeah, another example of anger is really interesting. Of course, the topmost example of anger, the word for anger in Sanskrit is mana. Mana means really to be in your mind, basically, but just to be angry. So Radharani gets so angry with Krishna that she even has a place called Manasarovara in Vrindavan. That means the kund or the lake or whatever that she goes to and just gets angry with Krishna. And then it's described that some devotees, when they bathe in this, they come out with gopi forms, you know. Isn't it? Like when Lord Shiva, he wanted to see Krishna's pastimes, he went to the Manasarovara and he became Shivani. It's nice, isn't it? And he took on a gopi form. So, anyway, so anger, and then Krishna finally went to the Manasarovara and just got down on his hands and knees and said, please don't be angry with me. Like sometimes in the material world, you find a husband doing that with a wife. Isn't it? Of course, there's no husbands here. So, oh yeah, there is. I won't ask you. But anyway, sometimes the husband does it with the wife and just says, please, don't be angry. Talk to me. Why are you angry? Like that. Okay, so anyway, so that's anger. It's so interesting in the spiritual world. Then there's ghastliness. Ghastliness is like Halloween or something like that. Disgust, you know, something disgusting. Yuck! You know, really yuck. When you see something really yucky, like a slug or something like that, or there's a lot of yucky things in this world. Oh yeah, or when a child has diapers and, you know, they open up the diapers. I said that for Radhika's better. Not for the mother, of course. But for everyone else, it's yuck! Isn't it? So that's, you know, that's a sign. Because why do we say yuck in this world? Because we're trying to enjoy. You understand? Because we think some things are attractive. Like, you know, like people go to this, what is this? Oh, show, the Phantom of the Opera. You ever hear of the Phantom of the Opera? No. Never heard of that. You know, he's an ugly guy, you know, he's disfigured. Yuck. So, because we're trying to enjoy beauty, then we have the yuck factor that goes along with the enjoyment. You understand? The sukha and dukkha. But if you don't try to enjoy this world, then you don't really go yuck when someone's ugly. Or something's disgusting. It's just like, it's part of the material world, you know. Samadarshi. Vidyavinaya sampane brahmiha. So, anyway, ghastliness in the spiritual platform is like, Prabhupada gives the example of Shripad Yamunacharya. He said, now that I've been tasting new and newer rasas in relationship with Krishna, whenever I think of this sex life, I simply want to spit. Sorry. He said, bleh. You know, so that's ghastliness. That's nice, actually, ghastliness. You know, so that's... Anyway, we can have some of these moods even right now, you know. Yuck! Because it shouldn't be so negative about the material world, because that's an opposite side of the positivity or attachment. So that, and then the final one is dread, which is fearfulness. So dread... In the spiritual realm is exhibited by one's fearful of separation from Krishna. One will be separated from Krishna. And we can also have some dread or fearful of maya or illusion. You understand? So anyway, so all these emotions, the point is they're pervertedly reflected in this material world. And they're not bad. They can actually be engaged in Krishna's service, even in the material world, even before we're on the spiritual platform. The emotions can actually be part of our service, like we're talking about anger here, in the proper context. Anger or fear of illusion, or laughter at Krishna's pastimes, when we're hearing Krishna's pastimes. So in other words, these particular emotions or moods can be dovetailed, even in our stage in Krishna's pastimes, and what to speak of the spiritual, when we go back to the spiritual world or spiritual pastimes. Okay. That's it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.